brothers.
All right.
Did you have handouts for this one?
I did not. Okay. Well, welcome. We're in Revelation chapter 7.
I just walked in front of that.
Yeah. Now I'm going to have to edit the video. I have to start over.
You're tough. You can handle it.
All right. Revelation chapter 7. We're going to blast through all 17 verses. Maybe. Most likely. All right. Revelation chapter 7, starting in verse 1. So this is, chapter 7 is about the 144,000. So verse 1, after this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, that no wind might blow on earth or sea or against any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serving him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them any more, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes.
Amen.
Lord, we pray your word would speak to our hearts, that we would be ready to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so 144,000 are sealed. And so John is drawing us a word picture to illustrate what he is seeing in his vision. And so, he says he saw the four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, flat earth theory. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just seeing if you guys are paying attention. This is where the flat earth theory originated. No. Then I saw another angel ascending and rising from the sun with the seal of the living God. And so John's drawing this picture of what he is seeing with the four angels holding back the wind at the four corners of the world, holding back the judgment that is coming. And the fifth angel comes in and says, hold on, don't let anything happen yet. I need to, seal these 144,000 before the next things are released. So we see this same kind of thing happen in other places, you know. How are we sealed?
Love.
Holy Spirit, right? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Says in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And so we know that we have the Holy Spirit working in us, convicting us, drawing us, challenging us, prompting us, all of those kinds of things. And then, you know, we also believe in the subsequent baptism of the Holy Spirit with all the things that come with that. So, the picture is they're holding back the next thing until the seal can be placed on their foreheads, it says. And we don't really, you know, we're not really given an exact picture, or at least not right here, of what that seal looks like. We just know that there is one. And, you know, there's going to be a mark that everybody's going to take. You're going to have to take it to sell and to trade and to get food and all of those things, the mark of the beast. There's also a seal for these 144,000 to mark them. So then it goes in, starting in verse 4, I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the son of Israel. So, and then it names the 12 tribes. So one of the questions that people often ask is, well, who are the 144,000? There's even a church that claims that it's the 144,000 that are going to be raptured and go to heaven, which was great early on in the theory of the church, until the church continued to grow. And now there's way more than 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses that are really working hard. I sat through when I was a prison chaplain, I sat through a Jehovah's Witness Easter service, which was very interesting. And they talked about, if you're doing all, remember, we're talking to inmates here, so they're a works-based religion. And if you're in prison, your chances of being one of the 144,000 probably aren't super high, because you've done some bad things. And so they're telling them about all of this stuff. Like, they don't call it Easter, they call it something else. But it was very interesting to... Oh, my video shut off.
No, it didn't. We didn't start it.
I did start it, but it shut off. Oh, man.
Start over.
Yeah.
Start over.
That's my fault.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Well, I have it.
There it should be going now. Sorry. So I'm sitting through this Jehovah's Witness service at Easter, and they're talking about all these different things, and then this is their punchline as they get through it, and the message actually wasn't terrible, and then they get to the end and they're like, well, if you're not one of the chosen, what is in it for you? And they go, you get to live a good life. And I was like, man, that is a terrible punchline. This is not convincing me. And so then the guy, he was like one of their missionaries to Africa or something in South America, I think. And he comes up and he's like, do you have any questions? And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, so many. So many questions. But I really just want to go home. But that's what they believe. You know, that's, and they get it from this. And what we need to do when we're reading Scripture is, you know, the rule is we let the plain sense of Scripture make common sense. If when we read it, what it says makes sense and is logical and fits within the rest of Scripture, then what it says is what it means. And so when it says, I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. It means it's from every tribe named, 12,000 people, 144,000 Jews will be sealed. And we don't need to confuse it or spin it into our religion. These are descendants of Abraham, descendants of Jacob, or Joseph. And so that's, you know, that's what this is. We don't have to try and make it something else.
So do they go through the tribulation?
Yeah, this is tribulation. They're in the tribulation. But they're going to be sealed. And I mean, they're going to be kind of like evangelists almost of that time period. And we'll see, as, you know, when we read through the rest of the chapter. You know, there's some that think there's going to be so many people, as we see later in the chapter, that come to know the Lord during that time period. And so, and we see in other occasions through Scripture where God protects or sets people apart for his work. We see that with Noah and his family as he set them apart and protected them for the flood to carry the human race on. We see it with Rahab and her family when they went to Jericho and they sought out to see if they could take Jericho and destroy it. And she hid the spies and then hung the scarlet thread in her window so that they would know not to destroy her home, and her and her family were protected. And so we see places in Scripture where God does this. And this is another occasion where the 144,000 are going to be protected. So is this the same list of the 12 tribes that we see in the Old Testament? Yes and no. There's a couple of differences. Now, there's several different lists in the Old Testament, so then they don't always, you know, sometimes they interchange different things. But a couple of the differences, Ephraim and Manasseh, Joseph's sons, are typically counted as two of the 12 tribes. In this list, when you look at this list, Ephraim is named, or Manasseh is named, I'm sorry. Manasseh is named at the end of verse 6. But Ephraim is replaced by Joseph. Mm-hmm. And so he's pulled out. And then Dan, which is one of the 12, is not mentioned. And Levi is mentioned, which often Levi is left out of the 12 tribes because that's the priests, and they didn't get any land or anything like that. And so, but Levi is mentioned, and Dan is not, and we don't really have explanation of why. Although the tribe of Dan was one of the first to go into idolatry, we know that. The same with Ephraim, their tribe went heavy into idolatry, and so it could be a result of some of that. Dan and Naphtali had the same mother, so, and Dan was one of the smallest tribes, so it could have maybe just kind of grafted that into that. But the list does switch slightly, which is kind of interesting. You know, we don't know what the 144,000 are going to do or what they're going to preach or any of those things, but we know that they are sealed and protected by God to do a work during the tribulation. And when we keep reading verse 9 on, it says, after this I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. We know clothed in white robes means they've been purified, that they've accepted the Lord. They had palm branches in their hands. Verse 10, crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And so there's a great multitude through the tribulation that is going to come to know the Lord. Which, you know, if you have friends or family members that are wayward and you go, man, the days are short. The days are short. We don't know You know, there's things happening politically in our world right now that are making the days even shorter. And, you know, sometimes we worry about our loved ones that may not be walking quite right at this moment. And we go, man, we just, please come to know the Lord. Well, there is hope that in the tribulation, probably the greatest, there's some scholars that believe more people are going to come to know the Lord during the tribulation than have come to know the Lord during the church period. So there's some comfort in that. And we know that when people are going through tough things, sometimes the Lord uses those things to direct people and to draw people. And as challenges in life are happening, they tend to stop and look up and say, Lord, help me. You know, the story of the thief on the cross with Jesus is a great example of that. He's up there, he's convicted, he's about to pay the price. And at the last moment, he Jesus turns to him and says, today you will be with me in paradise. And so it's encouraging to know that there is going to be this great awakening, or this revival, if you will, that's going to take place during that time. Verse 13, one of the elders addressed me, saying, who are these clothed in white robes, and where do they come from? Verse 14, I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white with the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. So there's a little bit of debate among the scholars. Some scholars, because it says out of the great tribulation, they question where in the tribulation this is supposed to be taking place. And some will try to attribute this, what is taking place, to the millennium, like as we're going into the millennial reign of Christ. The argument against that is that it looks from the description here like we're sitting at the throne in heaven. And so these are potentially those that may have been martyred. And so we, you know, there's argument for both directions with that. You know, it says there's a great multitude. No one could number from every tribe, from every nation. There's some questions in there with that. Either way, the result is that through the tribulation period, there is going to be a great multitude that come to know the Lord. The 144,000 are going to spread the gospel, whatever that might look like at that time period. Verse 16 says, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst no more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So the hunger no more, thirst no more. They're going to be provided. They're going to be protected. It's possible these could be people these people come to know the Lord. So they resist the Antichrist. They resist the institution of you, if you will, that is going to be placed upon the people. In order to trade and to sell and to buy and to have food. And so they could have gone hungry for a season. They're persecuted for a season, potentially martyred. We know beheading is going to be a thing in this time period. And so there's a lot of things that these people could have endured. I mean, we're talking about the tribulation, the seven most horrendous years of life on earth. You know, COVID was nothing. The next thing is going to be crazy. And so, you know, the sun is not going to, they're not going to be baking in the heat. They're going to be protected. And it says, the Lamb in the midst of the throne, verse 17, will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That phrase right there in that verse is used. Sometimes people will teach that People in heaven are looking down on us and seeing what's happening and is bringing tears to their eyes, or they're remembering the things they could have done or should have done. Their tears are being wiped away because of their failures. I can't ascribe to that myself. It doesn't sound very heavenly to be sitting in the presence of the Lord and then watching all the numbskulls on earth. I think what's really being talked about here is that, when we enter into the presence of the Lord, when we enter into heaven, when these people get through the tribulation, the tears and the pain and the things that they endured during that time, the things that we endured during life, the tears are going to be no more. We're going to be in the presence of the Lord. The bright shining sun that we see, the thing that's going to light up heaven, is the presence of the Lord, the holiness of the Lord. It says it's going to radiate from him. And no longer are the things that we endure this life going to be bringing tears to our minds and tears to our eyes and heartbreak and all of those things. We're going to be rejoicing in his presence. Our bodies are going to be renewed, and no more pain, and no more hunger, and no more all of this stuff. And so it's a pretty amazing testimony. We kind of break from chapter 6, where we're starting to go through the seals and the things that are happening, to say, hey, wait, look, this is some of the other stuff that's going to be happening during this time of the tribulation, where there's going to be a great return to God, and a great multitude are going to come to him. So, should excite us, and it should be in my mind a little bit of a motivation for us. There's, for a long time, and we've talked about this with the seven churches, where churches used to really talk about the end times and the return of the Lord and the second coming and all those kinds of things, and the rapture, and the church kind of moved away from those things a little bit, and we talked about in the seven churches how that's one of the things that happens. If we're not talking about it, and if we're not telling people about it, when the government or whatever power may be that spreads the story of, why are all these people gone? Well, now, thanks to the FBI or whoever it was, we know that aliens are real. Maybe they were just abducted. Maybe round 45 of COVID is so bad, people just disintegrate. We don't know. We don't actually know what happens in the rapture. Does this vessel, is it just here on the ground? They come to church and there's just bodies everywhere and they think we drank the Kool-Aid? Or is this body gone and just my clothes are laying there and they go, wow, he was dapper. That was a sharp dresser. We don't know. And so the aliens could have just snatched him away. COVID 45 could have just knocked them all out. They were in proximity. They all got sick. And we don't know how they're going to try to explain those things. But if we're telling people, the Lord is coming, Jesus is going to bring his church home, and then they come to our houses and they go, man, I know the Sullivans, and I know the Cliggs, and I know the Wrights, and I know the Glens, and I know the Sherbys, and I know the, and they just keep going through and they go, they're all gone. And then there's some people that have food set aside, because that's what you do when you plan ahead, is you set food aside for a rainy day, or for when the grocery store doesn't have any. And they're going to come in and they're going to see that. And there's some people that they're putting books with that food. Where did all the people go? We have those books out here that we give out. Where did all the people go? They got Bibles sitting there. They've got, some people are writing letters. If you're finding this stuff in my home, have at it. This is what happened to me. And if we don't talk about it, the people are going to be like, yeah, we don't know what I... Government's telling us, and we can trust the government. And so we got to be talking about what is going to be happening, because then they're going to see, and then the 144,000 are going to go, hey, guess what? And then the multitude is going to appear, in heaven with us. And it's going to be pretty amazing.
Yes.
Not licensed to say, well, maybe I'll just write it out and see what happens. Rapture is the preferred choice. Just in case you kind of were thinking, well, if there's a lot going to get saved, maybe I'll just check it out. Not the way to go. Any thoughts or questions or clarifications?
Will the 144 be, they'll be protected by God, you said, so they won't suffer any?
Well, I mean, they're still going to be here. They're going to, they're still going to be here, so they're going to experience all of those things. But it's, you know, it sounds like they're going to be protected in that. Yeah, they're going to be preaching. I kind of picture them in my mind almost like evangelists, but they're still going to have to deal with all the things that are happening, like you can't buy or sell without the mark. And if they're getting the seal of God, they can't have the mark. So they're going to still have to be dealing with some of those things. They're not going to be isolated and from the tribulation, I don't think.
Okay.
If that's what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you guys have other? We got smart guys in the room. I don't have to answer all the questions. Is that a good answer?
Yeah, I think they're going to suffer. Yeah. They're going to go through a lot, but they'll be saved through it.
Any other thoughts or questions?
I wonder why the elder asked who all the people were.
Yeah, so that's one of the things the scholars talk about a little bit. So one of the differences when we think back to the description of the elders, they had crowns. They had harps. These, they have white garments, but they have the reed, the
palm branches.
And so I'm not sure why the elder asked, but I think it's it's indicative of this isn't the church, right? The church is already there. We already saw that in chapter 4 and 5. And so we already know the church has been taken in the rapture. So this is a different group, which is where they say, okay, these are the saints that went through through the tribulation or martyred during the tribulation or whatever it is, but they came to know the Lord during that period. And so I think just identifying and clarifying for him, like, we already had a multitude. Now we got another whole bunch more. Any other thoughts or questions? Clarifications?
I just believe that everybody, like Brother said, everybody's going to suffer.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to be easy for nobody.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's pretty convenient for us today to just go to the grocery store and get what we need. I remember we lived in North Dakota for a few years, and I worked at the grocery store. In North Dakota, we get snowstorms, they get blizzards. And I remember working at the grocery store, and it would be the craziest thing, like a day or two or three before the blizzard, you would start getting especially the farmers and ranchers that lived out, hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of groceries and just loading up. This is where we learned to kind of plan ahead a little bit. And literally by the end of it, especially by the time the storm actually hit, and so then deliveries are delayed and all those kinds of things, the grocery stores would be, the shelf was, I mean, we were just in this little teeny town with a little tiny grocery store, but our shelves would be wiped out. But I remember going in, like bread, for example, during COVID. Good luck. It's a good thing we stock up, because, I mean, I think we went 6 or 7 weeks before we bought toilet paper. There was never toilet paper. And You know, and then they did things like seniors could go in early to make sure they got what they needed, which was a great idea. Mm-hmm. And you think about that and how long it took. You know, they say if there was a major thing that happened, especially if we couldn't get supplies delivered, within 48 hours, the grocery stores are going to be empty. You know, they don't, it's not like they have a warehouse out back. Mm-hmm. The store is the warehouse.
When I lived in New York for Hurricane Sandy, like, of course, nobody knew what was coming in. I went to the grocery store just to see if I could pick up a couple of it. It was empty. There was nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're having to restock their shelves every day. There, it was gone.
Yeah. So you think you go into the tribulation and you have all the people, you know, whatever the time frame is between the rapture and the tribulation really getting going, all those people are gone. And so you think just in this room, like what everybody does, like for work and for jobs or within our church, and you think, you know, we've got truck drivers that work here, we've got law enforcement, we've got construction, we've got city, county workers, we've got, all kinds of stuff. And a person leaves a job. You know, we just went through a season where people couldn't find, and we're still in it a little bit, where people are having trouble finding workers. Mm-hmm. And the workforce, you know, the boomers saw COVID and were like, I'm out, retirement, it's time. And now you think, like, it's not just that we can't find workers, they're literally gone, they're not here. Whether it's UFOs or what, we don't know, but there's no workforce, so now what do? Now you can't get supplies, now, and then somebody imposes, well, the only way you can buy and sell is if you get this nifty little gadget inserted into your body. Boy, it's going to be tough.
Just imagine that in Mexico, during COVID, it was people dying in the streets.
Yeah.
And then the hospital, they don't let them in because they don't have insurance.
Yeah, it's amazing. We are pretty protected around here from, I went a few different places during COVID and I was like, oh.
And think initially just how many car wrecks will be worldwide.
Yeah.
Millions of people probably die. I mean.
Planes going
down. Huh? Yeah, planes going down. Look, I mean, people are going to be driving. You know, depending on where you're at in the world at that point.
Yeah, because it says we'll be about our daily business.
Daytime, and if it's daytime rush hour, you know, think about it. It's like not only will millions of people disappear, but there'll be car wrecks all over the world.
Yep.
Plane wrecks, instant.
So all of the chaos is just life's going to be tough going through that season. And I mean, there's movies about it, basically. I mean, you can watch some of the movies they've made over the recent years, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's going to be miserable. And so, definitely want to miss it. Yeah, it's going to be crazy. So, all in favor of the rapture, say aye.
Aye.
Oh, my notes. Why aren't my notes open? Well, let's pray. Prayer requests. I can't get my notes to open, so I can't open the old ones. I know Linda. You guys know Linda sits right here. Frank